There were also potentially great things that might happen on the diplomatic front. We mentioned earlier that the 7 days, Lee's victory at the 7 days, persuaded many observers in France and Great Britain that the Confederacy was winning the war. Were more success to follow in Virginia, it seemed likely to observers both in the North and the South that either London or Paris might make some decisive move to assist the Confederacy, extend recognition to the Confederacy, or perhaps even send some type of material aid to the Confederacy. So all of these things are sort of percolating in July of 1862. And what the Confederates in the end decide to do is mount these twin offensives, one in the Western Theater that will move troops from Mississippi up through Tennessee and into Kentucky, and in the Eastern Theater, where Robert E. Lee and the Army of Northern Virginia will go out of Virginia, across the Potomac River, into Western Maryland. What we'll do first is look at events in the Western Theater. We'll look at the two Confederate armies that marched into Kentucky in August and September of 1862. After Beauregard had evacuated Corinth, Mississippi, at the end of May 1862, and Halleck had followed him in with his huge army of 100,000 men, after those events had transpired, Jefferson Davis replaced Beauregard with Braxton Bragg. I spoke earlier about how Beauregard, in effect, went on sick leave without telling anybody what he was going to do. He alienated Jefferson Davis tremendously by doing that. He would remain in Davis's doghouse for the rest of the war. His replacement was Braxton Bragg, a man who would be a staunch ally of Davis's through the war, a man Davis trusted and liked, a man who was always loyal to Davis, and that was very important to Jefferson Davis. Bragg is going to loom very large in the military story of the war in the Western Theater for a good long while. We're going to see a great deal of Braxton Bragg, and he is an excellent example of how someone who's not successful can nonetheless be a very important figure in a conflict. He's going to be one of the most important military figures in the Civil War, even though he's going to have virtually no success as a military commander on the Confederate side. Braxton Bragg was a North Carolinian. He'd graduated from West Point. He'd served conspicuously in the Mexican War. He was a hero in the Mexican War, in fact. He'd been an artillerist there, and he was one of the bright young officers in the war. In the view of the American people after that conflict, he had done very well. He'd resigned from the Army in the mid-1850s and become a sugar planter in Tennessee, become quite a prominent sugar planter, in fact. When war came, he came back in to Confederate service. He was made a brigadier general, and then he was advanced through the ranks until he became a full general, a four-star general. He's just after that first group of full Confederate generals that we talked about earlier, Albert Sidney Johnston, Robert E. Lee, Beauregard, and Joseph Johnston. Those are the first four. Braxton Bragg is next. He fought at Shiloh in April of 1862, and he was promoted to full general shortly after that. And now he is commander of the Army of Mississippi, as it's called. It would later be the Army of Tennessee, and it, together with the Army of Northern Virginia, are the two principal field commands in Confederate military service. But here he is, in command of the Army of Mississippi. Bragg, in many ways, was an able man. He had a high intellect. He was a very stern taskmaster. He wanted troops to toe the line. He really did have a West Pointer's view of how soldiers should behave. He was capable of prodigious amounts of work. He also suffered from a range of ailments. He had migraine headaches. He seemed to be nervous all the time, suffered from rheumatism, had problems with his stomach. It may have been an ulcer, we don't know. But he seemed to be in pain a good deal of the time, and I think that colored his personality. He had a very prickly personality. He was quick to snap at people, quick to take offense, and very argumentative. In the mid-19th century, there weren't all the remedies that we have at hand to deal with ailments like that. I think many people were in what we would call chronic pain, and I think those who suffered most from that almost certainly showed it in their personalities. I think Braxton Bragg is one of those people. He loved to argue he was a hair splitter. There's a wonderful story from the old army that U.S. Grant related in his memoirs, and others related as well. It may be apocryphal,